And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Environmentalism, it is a movement, it is a mission, it is to many the means to save our planet. Born in the conservation movement of the 1950s, it has changed the way we live and the way we understand planet Earth. But recently, the environmental community was shaken by a position paper that cut deep into long-held beliefs about the environmental movement. When we return, we bring you a special edition of the Wildside News as we breathe life into the debate. Is environmentalism dead?
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This is a special edition of the Wildside News. Over the next 2 hours, you will hear from 9 leaders in the environmental movement who will respond to a recent paper that has stirred up serious debate about the future of the environmental movement. The death of environmentalism, global warming politics in a post-environmental world. Now, my regular listeners are aware that I have regularly championed the Apollo Alliance, a significant visionary alliance of environmentalists, unions, and politicos to craft a positive and powerful challenge to apply the nation's greatest will to once and for all move aggressively forward to achieve energy independence within 10 years, and in the process, create millions of jobs, invigorate our economy, restore the health of our environment, and America's place as a leader in innovation, ingenuity, and technology. Michael Schellenberger was instrumental in bringing the Apollo Alliance into play and made a bold attempt to get the Apollo Alliance interwoven into the 2004 election. But alas, the environment was hardly mentioned by either candidate, much to the chagrin of many in the environmental movement. Schellenberger, along with Ted Nordhaus, wrote and distributed The Death of Environmentalism at the October 2004 meeting of the Environmental Grantmakers Association, setting off a sour serenade of soliloquies from many of the directors, presidents, and officers of the major environmental organizations. The debate went public when Grist Online did an in-depth airing of the battle. You will find links to the Grist Online feature on today's show page. In the 2 hours ahead, the Wildside News will bring you the voices of the earth as we hear from 9 leaders who are weighing in on this very controversial issue. We are sorry that we were not able to include Michael Schellenberger in this debate, but every attempt was made to bring his concerns to voice on today's show. I will therefore provide a brief summary of the 25-page The Death of Environmentalism treatise before we hear from our guests. The mission of today's show is to provide a cross-section of voices from the environmental community so that you can get a sense of the passions and feelings that the issue has generated. In order to provide a fair and balanced voice of the earth on this issue, I chose the order of guests randomly. Following my synopsis, you will hear from Michael Bruhn, Executive Director of RAN, the Rainforest Action Network. Then Paul Watson, president of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Organization. Then Dennis Hayes, president of the Bullitt Foundation, who will speak to us from Seattle. Doug Scott, senior policy director of the Campaign for America's Wilderness, will be followed by David Johns, board member of the Wildlands Project. Then Chip Ward, author of Hope's Horizon, will join us from Salt Lake. And Kathleen Rogers, executive director of the Earth Day Network, shares her thoughts. Then it's out to Washington, D.C. and the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, where Jeff DeBelko will give us his perspective. And we close out this special show from Durango, Colorado, where Vicky Cimarano, director of WildPack, will give her perspective. I encourage you to follow the links to the written items and realize that thanks to the wonders of the voice of the earth, you can visit and revisit this show anytime. So, let us now begin. We start with a brief synopsis of the death of environmentalism. I apologize to the authors for this attempt to summarize their lengthy analysis, but here goes. Michael Schellenberger and Ted Nordhaus wrote a piece entitled The Death of Environmentalism, which suggested that environmentalism was an outdated term, approach, and concept that had failed in addressing the most pressing environmental challenge facing America and the world, namely global warming. The piece, written in October of 2004, spurred quite a debate amongst leaders in the environmental community, with responses by Carl Pope of the Sierra Club, Phil Clapp of the National Environmental Trust, Francis Beinecke of the NRDC, Dan Carroll, board member of the Apollo Project, and Adam Wurbach, past president of the Sierra Club. The debate was featured in Grist Online. Michael Schellenberger and Ted Nordhaus authored The Death of Environmentalism. Michael Schellenberger and Ted Nordhaus conclude that this failure of the environmental movement was due in large part to its major practitioners relying on the successes and therefore the strategies of the 60s and 70s, which was predicated on identifying a problem, developing the science to prove first its existence and then the fix, and then to put their focus on deriving incremental changes in legislation that would lead to the eventual goal. They suggest that to a large extent, part of the problem is that the environmental community sees the environment as a thing, something that they have the charge to protect, and that this thing is somehow separate from the broader complex of interdependence. By seeing the environment as their thing to protect, the environmental community has, to some degree, alienated themselves from the American culture and taken on the full responsibility for protecting it. They suggest that in order to address the larger problem of global warming, a full matrix of changes need to occur, primarily in framing the issue into the context of American culture and future, suggesting that the Apollo Project, which they are central parties to, which presented the challenge in terms of creating jobs to revitalize the U.S. economy and restore the environment in the effort to, in essence, retool the American system into a sustainable energy system, would more effectively unite the matrix of vision, will, politics, people, and the economy required to initiate rapid change. To this end, they suggest that environmental grant makers change their modus operandi from supporting environmental organizations to promoting a more all-encompassing strategy that more effectively leads to the dramatic changes that are necessary to accommodate to the social, economic, and natural readjustments that will necessarily develop as global warming manifests on the planet. That is the end of the synopsis. For the full text, follow the link provided on today's show page. It's a 25-page piece, but well worth an investigation. It will give you the background needed to really understand in depth what is about to follow. And now, the Wild Side News thanks all of the guests you are about to hear. May this serve to serve us all who work and have worked in the name of the American Environmental Movement. I'm talking with Michael Bruhn. He is the executive director of RAN, the Rainforest Action Network. Michael, you've been following this debate. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Well, I'm actually quite appreciative of what Michael Schellenberger and Ted Nordhaus have done. They have sparked a much-needed, long-overdue conversation about the efficacy of the environmental movement. It's clear that we haven't had nearly the impact that we need to, and I think some changes are in order.
First of all, what is bringing about the need for this change?
As Michael and Ted point out, and as many have pointed out, if you look at nearly every single indicator of the health of the biosphere, the planet, we're losing many more battles than we're winning. Forests cover is the cover of ancient forests is being depleted every year. Biodiversity is plummeting. Our dependence on fossil fuels is only strengthening. And across almost every single issue, we have clearly much work to do. And I think many of the strategies and tactics that are being used by environmentalists haven't been updated and they haven't been refined. And it's time for us to throw out the bad and start with something fresh.
Let's talk about what you think isn't working specifically, and then also let's talk about what you feel is needed to further the effort.
I think one of the things that isn't working is attempting to push progressive environmental legislation through Congress. We simply do not have courageous and visionary leaders, enough courageous and visionary leaders in the current Congress to pass any type of responsible environmental legislation whatsoever. What's needed is a greater and tougher grassroots movement that will simultaneously hold our elected officials accountable, Democrat and Republican, while also looking for different avenues to effect change, such as challenging corporations directly.
Now, are you finding models that you think embrace those techniques?
Well, I think that there's a lot of good news in regarding environmental activism. Some of the most exciting work that's being done recently is in the realm of challenging companies who are committing crimes against nature. Rainforest Action Network has been one organization among many that have helped to convince hundreds of companies to stop using wood coming from old-growth forests and to begin to have a policy of actually helping our planet rather than harming it. We've been able to convince Home Depot and Lowe's and Kinko's, Hallmark cards, literally hundreds of companies to stop selling or buying or using any wood or paper coming from old-growth forests. And this type of corporate campaigning is actually leading to the protection of millions of acres of old-growth forests in Canada, Indonesia, Chile, and elsewhere. There are a number of organizations that are working with this type of strategy in mind. Forest Ethics, American Lands Alliance, Natural Resources Defense Council. It's called markets campaigning, and it's one of the few techniques that environmentalists are employing right now that's having a big impact.
Some people who are involved in the environmental movement, of course, feel somewhat offended. They feel like they've been tossed out or that their work is being disempowered by the language, you know, is environmentalism dead? How can you help them understand why this change is critical at this time?
Well, I can understand why some people would feel as though their work hasn't been recognized. You know, what Michael and Ted did very well is to point out some of the flaws in the work that everyone in the environmental movement is engaged in, and pointing out some obvious facts that we're not having the impact that we should. What may have happened, and I can understand that this would have happened, is that some people who are doing heroic work and actually very successful work might have been painted with a broad brush. As a person working in the environmental field, I can certainly feel that way. There are some success stories out there, and there are some really inspiring case studies of how committed activists and volunteers are having a big impact on the world. I would say that if you're a grassroots environmental activist and if you're committed to justice, any type of social and environmental justice, you should take heart in the fact that people do care and that you're not alone, that there are literally tens of millions of Americans who believe that we must act to preserve the environment, and many Americans aren't even in the usual camps. They could be called conservatives, they could be Democrat or Republican. I see this as an opportunity to open our arms wider and to build a larger coalition to create the world that we all want to live in.
Let's say, for the sake of discussion, that environmentalism were to be considered and pronounced dead. What would you see replacing that? What is the new vision?
Well, I think you should ask Michael and Ted that. I'm sure you will. You know, I would say that I wouldn't pronounce it dead, personally. And I think that a new vision, some of the most successful work for social and environmental justice in the 21st century will be those campaigns that have a few different qualities. One quality is that the issues are made relevant to all Americans. So take, for example, our oil dependency. Oil dependency could easily be painted as an environmental problem, but it's not. It's a social problem. It's a global problem. Our dependence on oil doesn't just impact the environment. It impacts our health. It impacts our foreign policy. It determines whether we go to war or not. It impacts our trade deficit. And, of course, it impacts our economy and the job base that we have in the U.S. So the successful work that environmentalists engage in the 21st century will be those efforts that seek to broaden our list of allies and really welcome a family of Americans who simply want to make their country stronger and don't approach issues on a single, or don't approach topics on a single issue basis. The other part of the vision is that I think we need to be tougher. I think we need to name specific names and specific companies or executives or government leaders who aren't telling the truth and who need to be given some feedback about the impacts that their decisions are having on the environment and the people who inhabit the planet.
You are someone who is involved, and your organization is involved, really in a global perspective to a large extent. And, of course, much of this debate is really being framed from the perspective of global warming and climate change.
Right.
I'd like your perspective on what you're seeing as well now around the world in terms of climate change.
Well, the paper, The Death of Environmentalism, was really a critique on how the American environmental movement is failing in its obligations to help correct American energy policy because of its impact on the world. Rainforest Action Network is an organization that has a relevant objective in that we are primarily a U.S.-based environmental organization that seeks to change American or North American consumption habits and corporate practices because of the impact that our practices and habits have on the rest of the world. Just as we need to change the way in which we consume our wood and paper because of the impact that it has on forests, or our consumption of beef because of the impact that it has on rainforests, Rainforest Action Network has now rededicated itself to focus on climate change and our use of energy because of the impact on indigenous people and species and all forests all around the world. Last year I was with an indigenous community in Ecuador that was resisting an oil exploration project in the jungles of Ecuador, in a community called Sarayaku. And one of the leaders there told me, she said, as long as your country is drinking oil like it is water, we will never be free. We will never truly be free. And I think that story is being repeated dozens of times all around the world, in Nigeria, in Venezuela, in Peru, in Bolivia, in Indonesia, where our consumption of oil, our addiction to oil, is disturbing indigenous communities, leveling rainforests, and poisoning the planet and contributing to climate change. The U.S., of course, has just 5% of the world's population. It has 25% of the world's oil, or consumes 25% of the world's oil. And it's a moral responsibility for all Americans to work to break our oil addiction and to combat climate change before it's too late. Well, I think the last thing that I want to say about The Death of Environmentalism is that I think it's an unfortunate title, but I am quite grateful of the work that Michael and Ted have done. They're raising very important issues, and we need to win. We need to have a much more powerful effect on the largest American corporations than we're having right now and on our government officials. We're simply not inspiring our leaders to actually lead. And until we're actually changing environmental policy, we're not doing our job. And so I'm quite grateful for Michael and Ted for the fact that they simply held up a mirror to the environmental movement and said, take a look.
Michael Bruin, I want to thank you for adding your voice to the Wild Side News.